a lot of this is money that would normally be available anyways through job training grants or incentives offered through Empire State Development, low-cost hydropower. And some of it is matching dollars from the federal. So it's not all $1 billion coming technically out of New York State's pocket.
And do we have any idea over what length of time the city is going to see this investment?
It's sort of open-ended. It's not going to be in perpetuity. And Governor Cuomo was very pointed. He wants direct results. He wants return on this investment. So the onus is really on the local leaders to identify the companies, the projects, and show where the investment is and how it's going to leverage private sector investment and private sector job creation.
Best for the region to target the city specifically, or should we be thinking regionally?
Yes and yes. Rising tides lifts all boats, obviously. But you have to think it begins in Buffalo. But does that preclude using some of the monies for the Niagara Experience Center in Niagara Falls? Maybe some of that money will go towards the improvements at Ralph Wilson Stadium. There might be other suburban projects that need some assistance.
You mentioned the stadium, Jim. That's certainly in the news right now as the Buffalo Bills have to negotiate a new lease with Erie County. Any developments so far?
Well, the biggest one was Mark Poloncarz the other day said that he wants outside counsel to negotiate on behalf of the county, which is a smart move. They did that in 98. They had Hotch and Russ negotiate, and it's pretty standard practice. They are starting to talk. The Bills are still in the middle of their due diligence study, what actually is needed for the stadium.
And then what is needed? What do the Bills want, and what is the county willing to give?
Well, we don't know at this point. There's a lot of rumblings out there. I'm hearing a lot of stuff, not sexy stuff, more structural, you know, new concrete, new shoring up the stadium. It is 39 years old. There's a wear and tear factor with that stadium.
The Buffalo investment was certainly center stage for the governor's State of the State address, but also part of that message was the governor again hinting at the possibility of a constitutional amendment that would allow statewide casino gambling. Now, President Porter of the Seneca Nation said he would not oppose that as long as casinos were out or kept out of Western New York. There's a problem here, though, Jim. If President Porter is saying that for the Seneca Nation, does the Oneida Nation have a similar representative, and are we going to have, generally, Native American opposition to this possible amendment?
It would be surprising that if we don't hear something from the Oneida Nation saying, hey, wait a second, we don't want them in Central New York either. Under the terms of the 2002 Compact, the Senecas have gaming exclusivity for a 14-county region, which is basically the western part of upstate New York. They have a very strong legal standing in that argument. It's a very clear-cut document. There's going to be a lot of opposition to casino gaming, not only from the Indians, but I think there's obviously, as we know, there's a strong anti-gaming sentiment. We've seen that here locally.
But the governor has said it in the State of the State address, and he said it a few months earlier, too. You know, you're opposed to casino gambling in New York. You have casino gambling in New York.
We do. We have gambling in New York. We've had it for decades. It's called the lottery. Gaming is very much a black and white issue. You're either for it or against it. But the fact of the matter is, you know, since New York instituted the lottery decades ago, gaming is here.
Jim, I want to wrap up this morning with the Labatt Pond Hockey Tournament. You attended a press conference on Friday. No lack of enthusiasm for the event, but there is a lack of ice. The weather just is not cooperating. What's the likelihood that this event is going to happen come February?
I think the Weather Service probably has a better answer than I do. But as we speak right now, Lake Erie and the Erie Basin Marina is not frozen over. They do need at least 12 inches of ice to keep a safe tournament. Brett Carlson from Labatt said on Friday they're planning as if the tournament is a go until they're told otherwise.
What if there isn't enough ice? Is there a contingency plan?
They're working on that. He didn't elaborate. There's been some rumblings about trying to set up portable rinks, but you need at least 10 rinks because there's 144 teams. Mark Poloncarz said, well, why not use Cuomo Park Lake? But obviously, if the lake isn't frozen over, if it's been too warm, I'm not sure Cuomo Park will be deep enough.
And Jim, assuming that we can't get all the pieces together, we don't have enough ice in the marina, there is not another suitable location, and we can't get enough ice rinks built in time for the event, what's the loss here? What does this mean economically for the region?
Well, it's interesting because it's a busy weekend anyways in downtown Buffalo. You have the auto show going on. There's two Sabres home games and some other events. The loss will be felt, even with all that going on.
Can we quantify it? Do you have any idea?
No, there were reports last year that the pond hockey tournament had somewhere around $1 million, $1.5 million economic impact when you factor in bar tabs and people staying in hotels and other things. So I would think it's probably in that ballpark.
It's pretty impressive for a three-day event.
It is, but remember, you got teams coming in from Austria, from Texas. This is more than just a bunch of guys from Tonawanda and Cheektowaga skating in downtown Buffalo.
All right, Jim, thanks for your time.
Thanks.